Well, we're celebrating 500 years of the Reformation, but most people would say that the Reformation was not about revision, but it was about recovery. It wasn't about a revolution as much as it was about reclaiming the truth. And that was what set Martin Luther free. And for 500 years, those who get in the Word and in whom the Word gets in them. It was, in fact, the Bible being a closed book, but when Luther was told to study the Word, that the Word of God got into Martin. And I'll tell you what, once you get into the Word and the Word gets into you, God is in the recovery business. God is wiping away our sins, remembering them no more. God is giving us a clean slate. I am justified. And so are you. By faith alone, in God's grace alone, and in Christ Jesus alone. This is most certainly true. That's what Luther would say. There's no doubt about it. This is most certainly true. I am justified. It was in 1524 that Martin Luther and also Paul Spiritus and probably one other, they think it might have been this anonymous hymn writer named Justus Jonas. They don't know for sure, but they put a hymnal together because Luther, some of you were in adult study tonight, Luther wanted to reclaim the gift of congregational song. Now, when we put a hymnal together, there's usually lots of debate about what gets included, what gets excluded, right? Well, in this case, there were only three hymn writers. Luther produced four hymns. Spiritus produced three hymns. And Justus Jonas, perhaps, did the eighth. Eight hymns that were for kids and adults so that they would know the faith and be able to sing the faith that we are free indeed in Christ alone, by grace alone, through faith alone. This is most certainly true. So this particular hymn written by Paul Spiritus was written when Paul was in prison. He had been locked up, he was confined, and he was sentenced to death because he disobeyed the church and he claimed allegiance to Jesus Christ and God's Word alone. Listen to these words that we're going to be singing tonight. Salvation unto us has come by God's free grace and favor. Good works cannot avert our doom. They help and save us never. Faith looks to Jesus Christ alone, who did for all the world atone. He is our mediator. This hymn by Paul Spiritus, originally in German, had 14 verses. In English, 10 verses, but in the LBW, only 5. Or if you continue looking at some of these hymns, like in hymn number 299, Dear Christians, One and All, Luther's autobiography, beautiful hymns that were part of this 8-hymn hymnal songbook that allowed kids and adults to be in God's recovery business, getting reclaimed and recovered by the gospel, which had been exchanged, polluted, perverted for a counterfeit gospel that was no good news at all. Luther was set free by the gospel of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for the forgiveness of sins. Now, most of the time we're celebrating on Reformation the posting of the 95 Theses on the Castle Church door in Wittenberg. And next week in the adult study, you can actually look at all 95 of those theses. Thesis number one, that when Jesus said repent, he meant that our whole life was to be one of repentance. Or when he was asked, what does baptism mean for daily living? Luther replied, it means that my sinful self should be drowned through daily repentance. And so that day after day after day after day after day, a new self should arise to live in God, live with God in righteousness and purity forever. If the Son sets you free, and he does, then you will be free indeed. This is most certainly true. I am justified, and so are you. When I was a pastor out west, I had a friend who came to me one day and said, Pastor, can I make an appointment to see you? Her name was Lois. Her husband's name was Frank. They were new members of the church, but not really kind of active and nice enough on the surface, but you couldn't quite figure out what they were like in the heart. And Lois had come week after week to the Quilters, and she said, I need to share with you my story. And so we set up an appointment. She came in, and she began to describe her 40 years of marriage to Frank. Frank may have looked nice on the surface, but he was quite a character in his life. He had cheated on his wife, Lois, more times than you could count. He was a womanizer. He traveled for work, and he was an alcoholic, and he drank excessively. And Lois wanted to do everything she could to find redemption, to find favor in the eyes of her husband, Frank. And she thought, well, if I just have another kid, that will make him love me. And so she worked at it. And then she said to herself, well, maybe if I just go out carousing with him. So they went out and they did the gambling and they did the partying and they did the excessive drinking. But none of that worked. It only created in her life and her marriage a deeper cesspool. And she finally got to the point where she couldn't help herself. She was at the end of her rope, and so she said, Pastor Dave, I went in and I saw our pastor at the time. He was an Anglican priest. And I told him the whole story of the repeated infidelity of my husband. 40 years of marriage, one cheating episode after another. And she said, he looked at me and he said, I think your husband is a nice guy. Maybe you just don't understand him well enough. This is an Anglican priest, for crying out loud. And he looks at her and he says, you know, maybe you should think about having an affair too. Because it's just sex, you know. And you are justified. What? I mean, she's telling me this whole story. I said, really? An Anglican priest told you to go out and cheat on your husband because he was cheating on you? That's what people do with this freedom stuff. They get the slate wiped clean and they say, let me have a marker. Let me mark it all up again. I mean, you get some of these nonsense people that'll say, sin boldly. That's what Luther said, sin boldly. I said, yeah, but complete the sentence. But believe more boldly still. I mean, when you're in Christ, saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, you don't sin all the more that grace may abound. That's just pure insanity. That's sick. I told her that. I said, that's sick. That priest told you that? I said, unless your husband repents, he's going to spend eternity in hell. And so will that misguided priest. That's what people do with God's grace. I mean, on Reformation Sunday or the weekend of Reformation every year, you get to hear all of these sermons. A lot of people spend all their time talking about Luther rather than doing what Luther wanted to do. Preach the gospel. Tell them about Jesus. Deliver the goods. Right? And then they'll say, well, yeah, but those are such big churchy words. You know, justification? Justified? I mean, what does it mean? Well, justification means righteous. Righteousness. Yeah, but that's another big churchy word. And did you notice in our scripture reading, Vicky did, propitiation? Crying out loud. Who puts those big churchy words in the Bible anyway? Nobody understands it. All we need to know is I'm saved by grace. I can do as I please. And Luther would say, what is it that you please? Now that you have been buried with Christ and raised to new life, what? What is it that you please? Well, Scripture's clear. Unless our righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You must be perfect. Luther understood that. Crying out loud, he did everything that he possibly could, like Lois did with Frank. If I just work harder, I might get him to love me. I might have a decent marriage here. Really? How's that working for you, Lois? 40 years of insanity, huh? Just work harder. You know what Martin did, right? He thought, how am I going to satisfy a righteous God that is in the business of condemning? Condemnation, huh? How am I going to satisfy this kind of a God and satisfy his wrath? Well, maybe if I become a monk, that'll make me good enough. He couldn't escape. And he was in the confessional booth most of the time, drumming up one sin after another, for crying out loud. Martin, come back when you got a real sin to talk about. And he was beating himself up, you know, self-flagellation, and he was fasting, and he was praying, and nothing was working. Until Father Stumpitz got him into the Word. And the Word got into Martin. Romans. I mean, some people say our epistle from Romans for tonight is the epicenter of the whole Bible. So they may be some big churchy words, but we better wrap our heads around it. Justification by faith alone. God's grace alone. God's riches at Christ's expense. Faith, forsaking all, I trust Him. In Christ alone. You see, Buddha can't save you. Muhammad can't save you. Guess what, boys? Your mom and dad can't save you. Your good works can't save you. There is salvation only in Christ alone. That's the gospel. And it's for the whole world. But you've got people in the 1500s and in the 21st century that make it their aim to say, here, 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 let me set you free. Let me give you some markers. Get busy on that whiteboard. Have fun with it. Like that crazy Episcopalian priest. And I'm not saying they're all like that. But what nut tells a woman who's been married for 40 years to a scoundrel, well, you know, you're justified. Why don't you go out and have an affair too? It might make you feel better. That's just crazy. Need the gospel. Not a counterfeit gospel, right? What is justification? It's not where I start to rationalize and explain and excuse all my sinning. It's just as if I'd never sinned. A clean slate. A fresh start. When Luther had his towering experience, he said it was like paradise. It was like being born again. John 3. Because he finally understood that God's righteousness is not God's damnation of sinners, but God's righteousness is proven when he gives his only son, Jesus Christ, as a gift. God looks at the cross that you and I have been marked with and live in, with, and under every day. And God, our Father, sees the blood of His Son, Jesus. And it makes atonement, and it makes reconciliation, and it's redemption, and it's justification. We are righteous, made right, or what I call rightified. Right in the eyes of God, right relationship with the very source and ground of our being. Not through anything that I add or do, but Christ alone. That's the gospel. And everything else is nonsense. Since the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Luther, in the Small Catechism, Article 2 of the Apostles' Creed, writes, "I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, Son of the Father from eternity, and true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. At great cost, He has saved and redeemed me, a lost and condemned person. He has freed me from sin, death, and the power of the devil, not with silver and gold, but with His holy and precious blood and His innocent suffering and death. All this He has done, that I may be His own, live under Him in His kingdom, and serve Him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as He is risen from the dead and lives and rules eternally. This is most certainly true. I am justified, and so are you. I am justified, and so are you, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ Jesus alone. The gospel is for you. It sets us free indeed. Not so that we can justify sexual immorality and every sin under the sun, but so that what pleases us is what pleases our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is one with the Father. Now, what about propitiation? That's a tongue twister, isn't it, Vicki? It's a hard word. Propitiation. Say it, propitiation. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to get it out, isn't it? Let me help you with just one visual. Remember the Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement? Once a year, the high priest, after his sins were covered in blood, perfect, unblemished lamb, he then went into the Holy of Holies, only because God permitted it. The righteous, holy God permitted it one day a year, Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement. Reconciliation, redemption, becoming one. So he would go in, and there was the Ark of the Covenant, and it had the mercy seat on it. The presence of Almighty God. And the high priest would take the blood of this perfect, unblemished lamb and pour it over the mercy seat. It would cover the whole mercy seat so that Almighty God, the righteous one, would only see the blood. And His wrath would be covered. But as soon as the high priest came out, the slate started getting full of sin again until the next Yom Kippur. But the book of Hebrews that the men and some women are reading now as a part of the year through the Bible, the book of Hebrews said that God put an end to the annual sacrifice once for all. Jesus, the perfect high priest, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb without sin or blemish. Perfect. The righteousness of God. He goes to the cross for you and for me, and His blood covers the mercy seat. And the wrath of God is satisfied. And we are saved by grace alone. God's riches at Christ's expense. Through faith alone, forsaking all, I trust Him in Christ alone, crucified and risen for the forgiveness of your sins. I want to close with a story. 20, 30 years ago, Tony was riding on a train in London, and in the compartment right beside him, across from him, was two gentlemen probably in their late 30s. And all of a sudden, Tony looks over there, and one of the two gentlemen is having a seizure, shaking violently, falling on the floor, kicking. It was a nightmare, and Tony thought, oh my God, I don't know what to do. He's going to die. But his friend didn't panic. He reached down and cradled him, got him eventually up on his feet and seated, took his jacket off, wrapped it around him, and eventually he stopped the seizure, the shaking, the trembling. And he looked at Tony and he said, I'm sorry this happened. You'll have to excuse my friend and me. And Tony said, no, the way you took care of him, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. And then he began to explain. He said, my friend and me, I'm American, he's British. We both fought in Vietnam. There was a grenade that blew away his whole chest and took off my leg. And he rolled up his pant leg to show that he had a prosthetic. He said, we were laying there, and then the helicopter that was supposed to come and rescue us was blown out of the sky, and we knew that on the battlefield in Vietnam, we were going to die. It was all over. I don't know how long we laid there, but my friend, you know what he did? Somehow he got himself up with his chest just partially missing and just in agony. And then he reaches down and he grabs me by the shirt and he pulls. I don't know how long it was. The Viet Cong, twice they came upon us. And they thought that we were in such a sad, sorry shape, they didn't even bother us. I suppose they didn't want to put us out of our misery, huh? He saved my life. He got me back home. A year ago, I heard that he was having these seizures all the time. And I thought, I got to go there. He's got to have somebody there 24 hours a day. He said, so I sold my car, I sold all my belongings, my furniture and stuff, and I moved over to London so that I can take care of him. And Tony said, man, that's really wonderful of you. He said, wonderful. No, you don't understand. He said, you've got to understand. He saved my life. There's nothing that I wouldn't do for him. You see? He saved my life. You want to know what justification by faith alone is? Jesus saved my life. And your life too. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we speak these same words. After what Jesus did on the cross for you and me, there's nothing that you and I wouldn't do for him. I am justified, and so are you. This is most certainly true. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.